Okay, welcome everyone. We're gonna talk about Hanukkah today, just to prepare ourselves. You know, next Wednesday night is the first night of Hanukkah, so we shouldn't just enter Hanukkah with no direction, and then get some direction during Hanukkah. Let's start now. Focus. Prepare yourself for the holiday. It's a very special time. Every holiday in Judaism is special, and there's what to gain from every chag. But you have to be prepared. You have to know what the job is. It's just like candles and you know, go to the movies. I don't know how much you're going to get out of Hanukkah, if that's the case. And every holiday has its influx. Rav Dessler, we're going to study Rav Dessler today. He has a theme that he talks about in all of his pieces on the holidays. How every holiday has its influx, has its shefa. There's something that comes down from Shamayim with every holiday. So during Pesach, for example, the influx is chirut. It's freedom. Freedom from the Yetzer Hara. It's a time of emunah, building your emunah. The same way the Jews, it says, Vayaminu Bashem of Moshe Avdo. It caused them to have emunah when they saw all the nisim. Chanukah also has its shefa. Chanukah, we have to realize, Chanukah is not just, it wasn't just a battle and a miracle of the oil. The Jews were almost wiped out. We might not have been here had the Jews not survived Chanukah, because it was a twofold thing. The Goyim, the Greeks at the time, Greek culture was so strong, it influenced everyone. Everyone wanted to become Greek. And the culture was so strong, the art of Greece and the philosophy of Greece, it was just affecting all branches of the Jewish society. And the Jews were very Hellenized. They were very assimilated. All the Jews. There were very few Jews that were not Hellenists. Mityavnim. And they were so assimilated, and then, the Rambam brings down the history of Hanukkah, that the Greeks forbade on the Jewish people Shabbat, Brit Milah, became like communist Russia. You couldn't keep the Torah. You couldn't learn Torah.
And they all also believed in it too, like all these Jewish people?
They believed in Judaism and in Greek philosophy. They became, basically, they were Greek Jews. Mm-hmm. Like Greek before Jews.
Right.
And it was so, that with many names in Judaism, if you look at many of the Tanaim, they had Greek names. Antigonos. What's Antigonos?
Unkelos.
Yeah, Unkelos was Roman originally. He was a convert. But as a matter of fact, the rabbis say you can read the Torah in Greek. It's mm-hmm. such a beautiful language.
It's the only other language.
Yafte lokim leyefet. It's one of the most beautiful languages in the world. The Greek music is beautiful. Anyone ever listens to Greek music? It was a beautiful culture. American democracy. They looked to the Greeks for some guidance. Not in everything. It wasn't exactly a democratic society, but they had some things of democracy. They were very smart people, and they were philosophers, and it was so attractive. This culture was so attractive, it just spread. And Hashem sent them a gzerah. Sent them a decree. You want to be a Hellenist? Okay, then you can't keep Judaism anymore. It made it so difficult for them to keep Judaism, there was a revolt. And the Hashmonaim revolted against Greece, and they fought them, and they fought for Torah. They had to revive Judaism, it was a whole revolution. Of a revival of Judaism. And everyone did teshuvah. And we're going to talk about this teshuvah. What the Jews did. How did this take place? What was the job of the Hashmonaim? And this piece that we're going to do today has a lot to do with Kiruv. Kiruv, outreach. Jewish outreach. Are you supposed to do outreach or inreach? What's the better form of Kiruv? To go out to places that have no Torah? Or to somehow bring them in? Or both? Obviously, you need something of both, but this piece very much talks about Kiruv and about how influenced we are from the Goyim. Look at all of ourselves. In our mentality, are we Jewish? Do we have a Jewish mentality or an American mentality that has some Judaism in it?
It means to be first Jewish, and then, but we have our own.
So we're a product of
challenges within that.
Exactly. Well, we're all products of America. We grew up here. So by default, you're going to be somewhat American. Right, when the Dodgers win, we're happy, right? Right.
Naturally, yeah.
Better.
Lakers.
Dodgers. Yeah, right. So that's just you live in the society. You grow up in the society. You're born in the society. It's what you hear. It's the way you grow up and the things that you hear. It all has an effect on you. And we have to look deeply inside. How How much are we mityavnim? Are we at all Greek? Did we take the American culture more than our own Torah? And if we did, maybe some of it's good, because you see that the rabbis praise Greece for some things. And, you know, it says you can, the Greek language is beautiful. And their aesthetic was very beautiful. They had the beautiful statue. I don't know if statues was such a good thing. Might be, you know, the borderline of Odazara, but art, there was a beauty. Food, there was a beauty in Greece. And then maybe there's somewhat to learn from that. So let's see over here. Let's let Rav Dessler speak for himself.
Torah was allowed, I mean, our Torah was allowed to be translated into that.
Into Greek, exactly.
Why? What was special about that language?
Well, that was the spoken language at the time, and the Jews were actually forced. They were forced to translate. It was not by their choice that they... The Greeks forced the Jews...
The only language that was able to...
Basically, they wanted to take the Torah and make it for themselves. And let's spread it. There's no difference between us and you. We can study your Torah also. You have Chokhmah? Okay, we'll take your Chokhmah also.
He said the Greeks, was by force.
The Greeks were trying to erase the line of Judaism. But you don't have to be a Jew anymore. Just be Greek. You have some minhagim, okay, you keep your minhagim. They go so far, the rabbis say that the Greeks forced every Jew, you know, what was the form of transportation? They had, you know, they had donkeys, they had cows. You had to write, put a sign on your cow that says, I have no portion in the God of Israel. Can you imagine? That's what they made the Jews do that. It was like, no, the Greeks forced the Jews to do that. It's like the Nazis wearing the, you know, I have no portion in the God of Israel. It was a crazy time. Crazy time.
I think that it's the only translation that's accurate enough.
Yeah.
To be allowed to read the Torah in that.
The Septuagint, yeah. That's a different.
You're allowed. You're allowed. So like it like has a holiness of.
We don't have exactly the version that they. That's a different discussion. We'll talk about it later. Let's see Rav Dessler. Okay, everyone have the first page says Chanukah on it. Okay, Rav Dessler says Chanukah Kviat Zikra LeDorot. The Jews experienced many miracles in their long history, but there are some miracles that we made a holiday out of. What's special about these holidays? So we're not going to read every single word. I'll try to skip a little bit, see how much time we have. Is there more falafel? We have more time. Does Hashmonaim memsiut nafsham zachu leglot shenekudat or haTorah pnimit ena bitul leolam? Now the Hashmonaim, Hasmoneans that fought against the Greeks, they gave their lives. They gave their lives. They fought with their own lives in order to reveal that shenekudat or haTorah, that this point of Torah, the inner essence of Torah, will never be extinguished. Torah is still, we're still here. While the Greeks are gone, we're still here. Va'atida la'amod bifnei chashchat leil ha'ester b'chol dor v'ador. And the Torah and our religion will remain even in all the darkness of all the generations to come, all the exiles that we've experienced, everything that we've been going through, Torah is still here. This is the reason, says Rav Dessler, the third line, L'shem limud zeh nitgale nes Hashem. And this is why God revealed, He made a miracle. When the Hashmonaim made a war with the Greeks, so it was a war. People win wars, people lose wars. They won a war. So you can just say, well, they won a war. But it's just derech hateva, it's just a natural, they had a good soldier, they had a good general, like people say about the Six-Day War. It was a miracle, but they were very smart. They were very smart. Hashem gave them that Pach Hashem and this miracle of the Shem and to show, no, I'm behind the scenes. It was all me the whole time. And I'm with you. You fought against the Greeks for Torah, I'm with you. I'm going to make a miracle for you. And anyone can walk in the Beit HaMikdash and see this miracle. The candle would not go out. It was a small miracle, limited miracle that Hashem made, but it was to reveal that the whole thing was a miracle. V'nikmaz zichro ledorot. This miracle was codified. You have to fulfill this mitzvah every year. Ein anu nomotzim b'torah b'chazal zichronot yisorim gereda. Says Rav Dessler, we don't find just historical stories in the Torah. The Torah is not telling you history. We don't light the candles because of something that happened. It's something that applies now. It's something you're supposed to be learning right now. Elakol inyanam limudim ikarim avodat Hashem. Everything, every holiday that we have, every minhag that we have, the purpose is for now. What are you supposed to learn from Hanukkah? And vayinyan bikviat maaseh dorot hu she'yezkur adam et hanes v'yitored lilmod mizeh. You're supposed to learn from the miracle and be mitoreh from that. You're supposed to change yourself. Every year Hanukkah comes, you're supposed to be a different person. Not just play the sevivon and give gifts. Somehow spiritually, you're supposed to be a different person. Ach im nitbon, in the next paragraph, if we contemplate nafchin vaze inyan amok yoter, we'll see something very deep. Hine kol gezorot shel hester panim sibata b'chalon ruchayim b'madregat ador. He says any time there's some type of decree on the Jews that they can't do something for our religion, it's because of something spiritual that's lacking in Judaism. First, the first problem is us. We're lacking spiritually, so God sends us some type of wake-up call. And he quotes the Tanakh. The Bible is filled with this idea. If anyone's ever learned Shoftim, Sefer Shoftim, the book of Judges, it's just a cycle of the Jews sinning, and God sending them enemies, and then God would raise up a Shofet, like Shimshon or Gidon, who would bring the people to Teshuvah, and he'd fight a war, they would do Teshuvah, and then they'd be okay. That was a time when God's judgment was very clear. You would see an immediate result. You worship idols, it comes the next day. The next day the enemy is going to come. Today, it takes longer. It's a different type of hashkacha. Until the time of Mashiach, it's hester panim. We don't see God's reaction.
Like
it might take 50 years to see the reaction. It's even in the time of the Navi, there's a story there with David HaMelech. He wanted to know why there was a famine. So Hashem said, because 60 years ago, 50 years, whatever it was, 50, like 50 years ago, Shaul sinned. 50 years later, God enacted the punishment. So we don't see God's hand, even in the time of David HaMelech, when it was a more open Hashkacha. But he says here that if you learn from Tanakh, Kemoshi Nishneb Enach Kama Pa'amim V'yasu Arav Enei Hashem, the Jews did evil in God's eyes, and he put them to gave them to the Pelishtim. And when the Jews do Teshuvah, they are always saved. This was the same thing with Hanukkah, he says. In the story of Hanukkah, the Jews as well became Hellenists. They became Greek. And God sent them this punishment from the Greeks. But when the Jews gave their lives, when the Jews gave their lives for Torah, for Judaism, and they separated themselves from the Poshim, they said, no, we're just going to be only Torah. We don't want to be Greek anymore. We're throwing out their culture. Then they had the Teshuvah. God saved them. We skipped the next paragraph. How does one do Teshuvah? How does Teshuvah work? Is Teshuvah a personal thing that you do your own Teshuvah, but you have nothing to do with me? Not you.
No.
You don't have to do Teshuvah. How does Teshuvah work? Is it just yourself? Or are you somehow connected with other people? So the Kabbalah teaches us, he quotes some sources here, all of our neshamot are connected. Every Jewish neshama is interconnected. There are some neshamot that are like your brother. There are some that are like your cousin. There are some that are like, you know, it's a distant cousin. But they're all somehow connected. There's shorish nishmatcha. Could be your shorish neshama lives in Israel. And by you doing a certain mitzvah, like he's going to do a mitzvah also. He's going to get the ability to do a mitzvah. It could be a few chas v'chalila or mechalat shabbat here. Could be some Jew in France is also going to be Mechalat Shabbat. Because your neshamot are interrelated. Everyone's connected. So now, what about Teshuvah? Let's say you do Teshuvah. So if Dastor says, there's a Teshuvah, yesh efsharut shetshuvah tador teyem bimarach shetakiv et kol ador mamash. There's a type of Teshuvah that can affect the entire generation. Everyone does Teshuvah. V'haprat mehaklal. Everyone does it. Ha'at shelo yefshari kol yotze min hakelal. It's the third line. There won't be one exception. Every Jew will do Teshuvah. That's the way it's going to be when Mashiach comes. Every Jew is going to do Teshuvah. There's not going to be one Jew that's going to say, "No, I'm just going to stay. I'll stay in Alaska. I don't want to go to Israel." Everyone's going to come to Israel. Everyone's going to want to do Teshuvah. Because it's going to be the Teshuvah of the highest order. We just skip a few lines. He says, "El adidei chibur ruchani." Hashpa'a zot in me'alcha b'derech hachushim ha'gashmin. This type of hashpa'a, that the neshamot are connected. This is not something that's physical. It's a spiritual thing. Somehow our souls are interconnected, and when you do teshuvah, spiritually someone else is also going to do teshuvah. And he brings an example in the end of this paragraph, how sometimes people have, I don't know what it's called, like you can read someone's mind, or two people think the same thing at the same time. He says sometimes by family members, I don't know, what's it called?
Telepathy.
You can think something, and you see, there is such a concept. He says the same thing with the neshama. We turn the page; it's the actual next page that you have. He says that's the same way a soul, Hashpa ruchanit minetesh achat achaver. That's the way one soul can be, affect another one. Now, v'dor shehitale kol kach b'tshuvatot shehadra ha'tshuva l'pnimiyotam v'giyam l'nukadah zu shechavrot ha'nefashot, if the teshuva was to such an extent that all the souls are interconnected, he says then everyone does teshuva. Ki kulam mushpa'im b'nafsham me'or tshuva me'uchadim bo. Okay, one, the fifth line over here, the sixth line, excuse me. He brings an example, kemo shebi'arnu be'inyan achan. Now, in the story of Yehoshua, the book of Yehoshua, there was a story, we'll say briefly, one Jew named Achan from the tribe of Yehuda stole the booty of Yericho. Hashem, they conquered Yericho. God said, don't touch anything. No one's allowed to take anything. Asur, it's a harem. Of course, there's that one guy always messes things up. Like, you know, Adam HaRishon, just messed things up. And he took the harem, and he hides it under his tent, thinking no one's going to look, no one's going to find them. And Hashem tells Yehoshua, the Jewish people sinned. Only one guy sinned. Jewish people sinned, and they have a whole... Hashem doesn't speak Lashon Hara. He doesn't tell them who did it. He doesn't say Achan did it. He says, you'll figure it out who did it. They bring the Urim V'Tumim. You know, the Kohen Gadol sits with his breastplate. And all the tribes walked in front of the breastplate. And it, when it came to Yehuda, so it lit up. And then this family, and they came to Achan at the end. He was caught red-handed, and he ends up being punished for his sin. But why does Hashem say that the Jewish people sinned? It's just one guy. Why am I responsible for this? And you know, Jews died in a war right after that. 36 Jews died in a war. And Hashem said, it's because of Achan. Imagine 36 people dying. Chas v'chalila. The reason is, just because of one guy. So Rav Dessler says here, he says, "Binyan Achan." Okay, shechata veganav mishalal Yericho. He stole this booty of Yericho, and Hashem said, "Chata Yisrael gam ganvu gam kachashu gam samnu bichlehem." The Jews stole, they sinned, they lied, and they placed the geneva in their vessels. And so again, only one guy that did it. Sha'afa pisharak echad miklal Yisrael chata. Even though there's only one Jew that did it, ha'efsharut legeneva al yedei echad miyisrael morei al chasaron miklal Yisrael binyan chomer yisur geneva. If one Jew is able to steal, everyone's responsible. Because if the Jewish people had the proper attitude towards Geneva, that you don't touch anything that's not yours.
Unity.
If no one would have the audacity to steal. It must be someone borrowed something without permission. It was not everyone was scot-free. There was some type of weakness of Geneva that Achan even thought to steal. How did he get? Where did he get the idea from? He must have gotten it from somewhere. He must have witnessed it or experienced it.
So, and then it's also based on the level of where the generation is at the time, obviously.
Exactly.
I mean, like, we can't be judged that way because look at the whole world going.
So we don't know exactly how you'll be judged. We'll find out. You know.
We as a nation.
Yeah.
Be held to this.
Yeah. This was a very high madriga that they were on over here. And he says the reason is because, like we said, the geneva has to be inside them. Now we skip down to the. He says im zochim la'alot, the underlined line. If we do a proper teshuva, im zochim la'alot bedaragah pnimit zot ad tuma, ad shlemut ha'akara bifnim alev gam bedorot ha'baim lo ishtanek la'i. Here this is something amazing. Shinkudat pnimit zot tishar kivua ledorot. There's a teshuva. We said that you can have a teshuva that affects your family. That affects your generation, your shorsh neshama, perhaps. There's a teshuvah that affects the end of time. Your grandchildren will do teshuvah because you did teshuvah. The Hashmonaim did a teshuvah for us until today. The ability we have to fight the yetzer hara, to do teshuvah, to just change your life, that comes from the Yevanim, from the Hashmonaim that rebelled. And he says that's why the next paragraph that this is the omek inyan kviat zecher ledorot b'masa. He says this is the depth of why the rabbis, you know, this is the rabbinical law, Chanukah. The rabbis made this law. It's not from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, but the rabbis instituted that this should be till the end of time. This holiday. Ki bifnim hanefesh nikvaya az mitzvah et teshuvah v'limuda. When you study the laws of Chanukah and you keep Chanukah, you'll find teshuah inside you. You'll find the ability to beat them. Right? To beat the culture that we live in. ועל ידי זה נתאחתה ונתעצמה באיחוד כל נשמות ישראל עד סוף כל הדורות. ונקודת אחת מהכרתם הפנימית של הדור שחיו בזמן הנס נמצא גם אתה בתוך כל אחד ואחד מישראל. Each Jew has this ability that the Hashmonaim instilled in our neshama. There was such a great teshuvah because of all our neshamot are so interconnected. Im ein hashpata nikeret. Now, let's say you don't feel this. There are many Jews that don't feel this. You don't feel any need to do teshuvah, no need to bring people to teshuvah. It says it's not because you don't have it. It's rather, zeh mipnei shehachitzoniyot chotzetzet v'timtum alev moneh hashpa'ata. You're basically, your neshama's covered. There's a beautiful light all the way inside that's still shining. It's just covered. You know, a dirty light bulb. You ever have mud on a light bulb or something? It's a little bit of light. You know, covered up with something, and you'll see even less. And that's the Jewish neshama is holy all the way inside. That's why the Chachamim said it's not enough to believe in this. You have to do a mitzvah. You're supposed to light this candle. Because there's a concept in the Kabbalah that when you do an act on this earth, it affects your neshama in Shamayim. When you awaken yourself down here below, that way your neshama is going to learn to recognize God's miracles not in your everyday life, not just the Nes of Hanukkah, in your life. Your parnasah and your health and your family and everything that's going on and your ruchaniyut, your spirituality. It's all nisin nisim. The way God guides us in our life, it's all, if you look back at your life, you look back at your day today. Miracles. So it's filled with miracles. You pick up your child in the morning. It's a nes. Al nisecha shebechol yom imanu. Why? What else do you want? I mean, that's normal. That's a normal thing. No, it's not normal. Yeah. It's not normal. Yeah. It's a nes. But you have to open your eyes to see it. With the nes, with the mitzvah of Chanukah, you'll awaken yourself to these concepts. If you open up that, like the size of a head of a needle in your heart to recognize Hashem, God will open up your neshama on high. In Shamayim, He's going to open up your shorash neshama. You're going to get that same light that from the time of Chanukah. And when something is done for the right reason, when you do teshuvah for the right reason, your kids will also do teshuvah. You instill the teshuvah in them. There are different levels of teshuvah. Every teshuvah is good, but if you do teshuvah because you want to do what's right, you want to do for Ratzon Hashem, Hashem will He'll take care of you also. Take care of your children, your grandchildren.
Can you do teshuvah for your children?
For your children?
Yeah.
If they're still sinning?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're on their own, you know? But if you do teshuvah, you're helping them out. You're helping them, maybe they'll...
You have to pray
for them.
They're from and the kids are not. So, and the kids are very rebellious. And yeah.
There's also, ultimately people have free will. So you can be a good parent and you tried your best, but ultimately they make their own decision. Sometimes it's bad parenting also. You know, the Torah has to be beautiful. You have to make the Torah beautiful. It can't be a burden on them. You have to show them that it's beautiful. You know, there's a famous statement made by Rav Moshe Feinstein. He said all the Jews in the 1930s, 40s, 20s, you know, you couldn't keep Shabbat. You keep Shabbat, you lose your job. The whole country worked on Shabbat, and Jews were literally the religious ones were getting a new job every week. Many Jews just said, forget the whole thing. I can't do it. They were mechalel Shabbat. Some were mechalel Shabbat in a way that was as little as possible. But Rav Moshe Feinstein said, why were Jews so weak? They were very weak. Many Jews stuck with it. They said, Shabbat is Shabbat, but the vast majority just said, forget this thing. We're in America now. Time to assimilate. He said, I don't know the word in Yiddish. Maybe Yishai will help me out. And yet he said, the mentality was, it's schwer to be a Yid. It's difficult to be a Jew. That's what parents would tell their kids. It's not easy to be a Jew. It's tough to be a Jew. Mm. So that message you give to your kids, it's hard to be a Jew. It's not good to be a Jew. It's a burden to be a Jew. It's not a burden. It's a pleasure. It's Shabbat. Do you view Shabbat as being a burden? I can't do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. Or is it a pleasure? Shabbat. You look forward all week long, and you tell your kids how much you're looking forward to it. And you sing on Shabbat. Singing at the table brings joy in your house. Your kids are going to end up loving Shabbat. They're going to look forward to Shabbat. And you give them a special prize at the Shabbat table. And you give them special treats that they don't have all week long for Shabbat. You have to make Shabbat special for them. When you teach your kids that Shabbat is beautiful, the mitzvot are beautiful, so they'll think it's beautiful. And then once they get older and they study more Torah, they'll see it. They'll see for themselves that it's beautiful. So sometimes parenting, if it's too harsh and don't do this, you know, when I was praying the shiur about, you know, this is about assimilation and how much are we influenced, I was thinking to myself, I said, you know, let's say going to the movie. Okay? Maybe some people see the movies, whatever the case is. It's not that the Torah thinks it's not a good idea. Because you're affected. Don't think you're not affected by what you watch. Everything you see has an effect. Everything has an effect on you. My wife was just telling me, you know Michael Medved?
Yes.
Medved. Apparently he was speaking on the radio, and he was saying how Hollywood really destroyed society with their hashkafa. You know, slowly, the messages they give of what life's really about, what's important in life, it seeps in. And kids, high school kids watching this event, that they think that that's what's right. And end up getting married based on that, or not getting married because of that, or doing other things, right? Based on the hashkafa, this philosophy that they receive. So someone on the radio said, come on, you know, you can live your own life, what you see doesn't have such an effect on you. He said, really? He said, if that were true, then companies wouldn't pay millions of dollars for an advertisement, for a 20-second advertisement during the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If what you see doesn't have an effect on you, they're banking that those 20 seconds are going to have an effect on you. And it does have an effect.
Yeah.
They see. Yeah. They see that their product goes up.
They
wouldn't spend that money. Even for 20 seconds, you see something you shouldn't see for 20 seconds has an effect on you.
Wow.
But how can you control it? I mean, walking up and down the street, you see things that you shouldn't be seeing. So it's like, I mean...
You have to learn how to walk.
No.
You have to learn how to walk and how to use your eyes.
Learn how to walk.
There's a way to, you know, there's a Rebbe Yonah. You have to learn how to walk. There's a way to use your eyes. That's a different shiur. We'll get Shmirat Day night. Well, the TV, you got a problem. If you're watching TV, you're going to see something that's not good. There's no way to, like, watch TV and, you know, you'll be like this the whole time.
What about, like, National Geographic, Discovery Channel, stuff like that? You know, animals, this, nature. No?
Nature's okay. Nature's good. It depends. That's a different issue. But the point is, what you see has an effect on you. What you see has an effect on you.
No, for sure.
And you shouldn't, you know, but now, why did I mention this whole thing about movies? It's not that you should be thinking, it's a burden on me. It's a burden that I can't watch this, and I can't eat this, and I can't do this. I wish I could. It's a pleasure. Why would you want to see such a thing?
Exactly.
Why would you? You're a kadosh. You're Ben Melech. You're Ben Melech. You're the son of a king. But you're gonna go. But this comes with Torah. The more Torah you study, the more you see that this is the most beautiful thing.
That's what speak about. What was it that the Jews saw at this time that made them wake up all of a sudden after being steeped?
So it was the fact that there was a gzeira on them. They were forced. You can't keep Judaism anymore. When they saw that, they rebelled. I just want to go a little quickly. I don't know how much more time we have. He takes a little tangent here of Dessler, which is actually very interesting. I want to see if we can make this into a discussion. Okay? He brings from the Midrash that Hoshech al pene tehom. You know, the Torah says Bereshit bara Elokim et hashamayim et haaretz, and then it goes through how dark the world was. Haaretz hayta tohu vavohu Hoshech al pene tehom. So it says, Tohu was Bavel. The Galut Bavel. Bohu was Madai. The Persian culture. Hoshech, no offense to anyone here. Next we're grabbing Kubi there, by the way.
Yeah. In honor of that.
No simulation.
Hoshech,
I was born
darkness,
in America, by the way.
America.
Yeah, see the sign.
Gorbizamzi, all over the place. Gorbizamzi.
What's darkness? The rabbis said darkness is Yavan. Darkness is Yavan. You think the Greeks brought light to the world. They were very sophisticated, philosophy, science,
education,
astronomy,
yeah.
And astronomy. They were very, medicine. They were very bright people.
Yeah.
Very the rabbis called them choshech. Why are they called choshech? Because it says yachshichu enem shalitzeb gzerotem. They blackened our eyes with their decrees. They made our lives black. So now Rav Dasher takes a little tangent over here.
So is it saying that science is blocking the eyes of?
It could. Science can either enlighten your eyes in emunah or darken them. If you're looking for Hashem in science and see, wow, this is an amazing pattern over here. This is so complex. Wow, look at the symmetry. Look at the purpose. Look at the planning. This is it's amazing. You become like Moshe Rabbeinu. If that's the way you view science, the Rambam. If you study anyone that's ever studied the books of Rambam, he says that's the way you come to discover Hashem is by studying nature, but study properly. But if you're looking in nature to see where Hashem is not. And this could have been without him. It's that if you're not looking for pattern, you're not looking for symmetry, you're looking for how can I explain existence without having to answer to anyone? Which is the way many scientists view, how can I absolve myself of responsibility? Then you become farther from Hashem. Science is neutral. It's a chokhmah. It's a chokhmah, but you have to know what you're looking for. What's the purpose of science?
They're too smart for themselves.
There's an agenda also. You know, you see what you want to see. Even emunah, listen, emunah is emotion also involved. It's a mixture of emotion and intellect. You have to believe in something intellectually. It has to make sense to you. But ultimately, you have to feel something. And you have to decide, okay, I'm willing to live my life like this. Think about it. Either way, you need emunah. Either you need emunah that there's nothing, but you have to live your life based on that and pay the consequence if that's me. How do you know you're right? Maybe you're wrong. And if you're wrong, it's pretty bad. I heard Rav Amnon Yitzchak one time say, he said, what's a worse gamble? First of all, you should have emunah that you know it's true. I'm speaking about someone that really has no emunah. He says the price you're going to pay for not living a kosher life is so much worse than if you lived a kosher life. Okay, I didn't eat lobster. You're still alive. You have good restaurants over here. You can be kosher and eat like a chazir. No problem, you know? But there's no limit, you know. Baruch Hashem. So he takes a little tangent over here, which has a lot to do with Kiruv. I'm just going to tell you the story outside. I don't think we have time to read every word here. There was a rabbi named Rav Yossi ben Kisma. Okay, he was walking on the road, and he saw a man who offered him a very big job. He said, "Rabbi, can you please come live by us?" Now this was a place far from Torah, far from yeshivot. He said, "Please come live with us and." You know, we'll pay you very handsomely. So Rav Yossi said, "Even if you'll give me all the money in the world, any dar elav b'makom Torah. Even if you give me all the money in the world, I'm only going to live in a makom Torah. I need a yeshiva. I need a school for my kids. I need kosher food, kosher butcher, mikveh. I need Torah. I'm not going to leave my place." Now it says here, Rav Yossi. What was Rav Yossi worried about? He was worried that he'll be influenced by where he's going. If it's a place that's not Makom Torah, you want to do Kiruv, you want to do outreach, you want to teach people, you'd be very careful
not to put yourself and become
influenced and you lost the mitzvah. You became worse. There's no Kiruv to become worse to help other people. So we have to explain exactly what's considered a Makom Torah, what type of place was this, how does this apply to today. We'll talk about it, Ezrat Hashem. So Rav Dessler says that the ultimate way to do Kiruv is to bring people to you. Let's say to your Shabbat table. You can bring people bring college kids that have no connection to Judaism. If they come to your table, that's a Makom Torah. You're bringing people to a Makom Torah. To make Shabbat in their dorm room, okay, I don't know, you might see something you're not supposed to see. Okay, how does that apply today with college Kiruv? Usually the rabbis bring them to their house. Or to the Hillel house or whatever. But the point is, even for Torah, you have to be very careful. You have to be careful not to be influenced by other people. So listen to this. This is fascinating. He says, Rav Chaim Volozhin says that this person that he encountered, Rav Yossi ben Kisma, saw someone. He says, this was really who? Who would you say? What's the best punchline? Who is this person?
Eliyahu Navi.
Eliyahu Navi. Well, he says it was Eliyahu Navi. Why did Eliyahu Navi come and test him? This was really a test for him. Because you think maybe it's a good thing. Maybe I'll influence. But if you think you'll be influenced, then it's not good. So So he says here is Eliyahu Nevi. Now, why did he test them? He says because if you look at the midrash, it says Shaya mehalech baderech. He left his makom Torah and he was on the road, and whatever he was doing at the time was not Torah. So the Eliyahu Nevi saw now maybe I can send them. Maybe I can do this. And Rav Chaim Volozhin says a mashal. Interesting. He says it's like someone that's cleaning a sewer. Cleaning a sewer. Now, it's a good thing to do. Yeah, someone has to clean the sewer. But you know what? He's not going to smell very good after he cleans the sewer. So that's the same thing. You have to be very careful. So this is even with Kiruv. Even when you're speaking about teaching Torah, you have to be very careful not to be influenced by other people. So he says here by Yaakov Avinu, it says that Yaakov Avinu, it's the last paragraph, he says that, we know the angel wrestled with Yaakov, we spoke about that last week, angel wrestling with Yaakov. It says he was not able to fight Yaakov, to be victorious over Yaakov, but he was victorious over Kaf Yerecho. He wounded him over here. Now the Yerech, we know, signifies children. Right? The loins of a man. Meaning, the Satan, who is this Malach, he fought with the children of Yaakov Avinu. He brings from the Midrash over here, that's the last page, it's actually the first page, 114. It says here in the Zohar that really he affected the children of Yaakov Avinu. And he says he even touched the tzaddikim that will come from Yaakov. Zed dorosh el shema. This is talking about the generation of annihilation, like the time of the Greeks. What is this talking about? The Satan got the tzaddikim? I thought the tzaddikim there, the tzaddikim. What does the Satan have to do with the tzaddikim? So Rav Dassler says the reason is because even the tzaddikim, if you're influenced adversely from who you're trying to influence, so you go down in your tzitkut. He brings at the bottom here. We say in the Ala Nisim, we're praising God for all the miracles that He did. He says Ala Nisim, Ala Purkan, Ala Yishuot, and we say you gave tehorim, Urushaim biyat tzaddikim, mitameim biyat tehorim, Urushaim biyat tzaddikim. That you're praising God that the pure Jews were victorious over the impure goyim. So he says, and the tzaddikim beat the rishayim. How is that a miracle? You can't be a tzaddik and be victorious. What is being a tzaddik? I understand rabbim yad me'atim, that we were few and we were mighty. That's a miracle. How is us being tzaddikim a miracle? That we were big? You can't fight if you're a tzaddik? Usually they're not so buff, you know, the tzaddikim. Usually. Maybe that's a miracle. Or that's just says, no, tzaddikim, the miracle was that there were tzaddikim. That was a miracle, that you had people that were tzaddikim. You know, and what's the message I'm trying to give over here? When we speak about Kiruv, you know, I was thinking, you know, Chabad, for example. When they do Kiruv, they might go to a very far off place. But you know, they bring the Makom Torah with them, and they make a house. They make a Chabad house, and they bring the Jews to them. And there's all infrastructure. It's a Makom Torah. I'm not trying to say what's a better form. It's all good. However you bring Jews closer to Torah is very good. But we all have to be very careful not to be influenced. Where are we Yevanim? That's what I ask you. Where are we Yevanim today? How were we affected by, you know, the culture that we live in? That maybe we're in trouble. That's here. Rav Dassler brings from the beginning. Hashem tests us when He sees you're very assimilated. So He tests your Torah. Okay, then they'll make a gzera, God forbid. In what way?
Money.
What's that?
Money.
What's that? Money?
It's, you know, money. Maybe in all angles.
I don't have enough fingers left.
Yevanim. We're like Yevanim. That's like we got to get rid of that.
It's a culture.
I think we're a little Yevanim. At least the culture is Yevanim with what's it called? With like the beauty of the body. Or the way people are working out. And depends why you're working out. If you're working out to be healthy. But how much do you have to work out to be healthy? You know? How much do you have to? If it's to beautify your body, depends what your kavanah is. I call it Shem Shamayim. Yeah. I know. You know Rabbi Steinwurzel. He's a very big Tamid Chacham. Steve and I know.
Yeah.
Okay, he's a very big Tamid Chacham. And he's very strong. He really works out. He works out, I guess, for exercise, whatever, you know, for Avodat Hashem. He's a holy man. You see, Yaakov Avinu was very strong also.
No, I'll tell you, I worked out with him for 2 years, and I gotta say, he only works out for like 10 minutes, but he does like 40 things.
Really, huh?
I kid you not, yeah.
And
just,
leg presses at the same time.
Yeah.
But
he was working also because he had what's that disease you get when you get really tired, so you have to work out? I forgot what it's called. No, but in any case.
Yeah. And it was, I think, worship of the body, you know? People are very into their body.
That's more L.A.
L.A. People are very into their dogs.
Trying to say,
I think dogs are Avodah Zarah. You ever see this? You look people with their dog.
I was just thinking about getting a dog.
You see this? I saw this lady today. She's like 5 feet tall with a dog. Like this table. You know?
Not everybody, though.
What's that?
Not everybody.
It's a massive business, it's a billion dollar business, dude.
I got a dog, man. I got a dog.
Big business, head coach, hospital.
I kind of do, huh?
Yeah.
And anyone else? Where are we, Ivanim? What do we have to work on?
Pleasure of life.
Tava. Pleasure.
Watching sports.
The Olympics. The Olympics.
Sports.
Jews watching the Olympics.
Minimum 20 hours a day.
Thank you.
I want to say something interesting.
Purpose of life.
Someone pointed out to me, and someone in Israel, speaking to someone in Israel, before we moved to LA, and he said, boy, you know, you just realize America is very different than it used to be. I visited Israel several times, you know. It was never like the holiest place on earth. So he said, just for example, okay, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, I mean, I'm not speaking about Jews also, but it's really the secular culture that we live in. A guy and girl living together without marriage was strange. It was something I guess they're really like not so moral. It was something abnormal, like you're not normal, something's wrong with you. Okay, then you had people that were... Today, it is the norm.
Yeah.
You're more normal if you do that. Now, how is that? Now, Baruch Hashem, we're all religious, we're married, Baruch Hashem. If you're not married, Hashem should send you a shidduch.
Amen. Tivul agun.
Chen yatzon, v'no amen. Everyone should find their zivul, v'ezat Hashem. But, does it shock you when you hear someone's living with it? That doesn't shock you. Why doesn't it shock you? Because you've been influenced by the culture.
You keep hearing it.
It doesn't, there's no shock effect. So I guess he's normal. You know, we said, I guess he's normal.
We spoke about this once, a few weeks ago, on the Dvar Torah Shabbat, Friday night, you spoke something.
You remember?
Do you remember that one? You don't remember that one?
Yeah.
I remember.
I don't know that specifically, but like this is a real example of how we're really influenced.
Yeah.
It should outrage you.
Gay marriage,
something. Yeah, I went to Target, you know. Target, for some reason, they like Target. You know what I'm talking about? They like Target. What's that? I've said that. Okay. The Torah. You know?
This is going on. 70 million people are going to get
publicized. Everything's on Facebook, everything's on Twitter, every thought they have has to be. There's no modesty anymore. Really, mm-hmm. It's been like your thoughts.
Everyone wants their own piece of the pie, kind of. Mm-hmm. It's not, you know, so they want to be accepted, and they want so.
There was a report to give about Rivka and
Yaakov.
You know.
Let them move. Let them grew
up in a house.
Yeah, exactly. Harry, the lesson we should all walk away with is
a lot of worse things.
The teshuvah. We should try to do teshuvah in our own lives, and it affects all of us. We're all interrelated. And if you did teshuvah, maybe your teshuvah, maybe you will bring Mashiach.
Amen.
Maybe. Maybe your teshuvah, the thing that you have to work on, is going to affect the whole world. Maybe Eliyahu Navi is going to come. Who knows? We don't know where your Shorash Neshama is. And besides your own Neshama, we're all interrelated. We shall have a beautiful Hanukkah.
Amen.
God should enlighten our eyes, like in the days of the Hashmonaim. And we should live to see his
amen. Amen.
Amen.
Question, though, what I wanted to understand, though, from this thing, it seems as though it was done by the generation. Like, a lot of people did it.